at 807 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings Wednesday style. Sean and Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. Dr. Bill's forecast is like a run. This run continues 4 or 5 days of dry and sunny conditions. I like it.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
A little bit of thaw out here and get the yards dried out to get the rest of the state dried out as well. It's also a Wednesday. That's the day we get to talk to our buddy Jeff Poor. Of course, he's with Lanyap, which I want to remind you, voting is up at votenappies.com. Favorite Lanyap writer? That would be Jeff Poor. Also, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and of course, the host of, oddly enough, the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. Checking in right now from Montgomery, Jeff Poor. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
What you doing in Montgomery?
So Yellowhammer had an event yesterday. We do Yellowhammer like these. We're going to start doing them around the state. I'm coming soon to Mobile, but we do these kind of Q&A sessions with these lawmakers or policymakers. Yesterday we had State Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh and House Speaker Mac McCutcheon. And then we do, you kind of have a little social gathering, and then we do a Q&A with them, and we kind of talked about what now that we're into the regular session on the legislature, what folks should expect.
Speaking of that, yesterday, and I was watching your Twitter feed. Is there a fiddling while Rome burns reference in one of your tweets yesterday?
So that was State Representative Mike Ball. He's a regular on my show. He fancies himself as a country music connoisseur / musician. I think he would consider himself a jack of all trades, but his office is right. I was doing my show in the state capitol, my 2 to 5 radio show up in Huntsville, in the state capitol from House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter's office, and it just so happens his office is right next to Mike Ball's office, who wanted to show me how he could fiddle around sometimes.
Okay, because when I saw that picture pop up yesterday on Twitter, I said, this is like a fiddling while Montgomery burns. But I want to get into what happened yesterday as they gaveled back into regular session yesterday afternoon. And I know there were a couple different bills out there, but the one that obviously is getting the most attention, that's the lotto bill.
Yeah, the lottery, this McClendon bill, the one that was introduced yesterday by Jim McClendon, who's a state senator from St. Clair County, it's not going to be the bill that we finally see. I think somebody needed to put the marker down, and somebody needed to get it into the regular order. So really, yesterday was the first day of the regular session, the official first day of last week, but yesterday they were getting the bills in line, giving them their readings that they had to go through, now that we are all experts in how the legislature works. And they were heading to committee. But his bill was filed. He pre-filed his bill way early, like I think back in January, right immediately. So I don't think this is the final bill. It may be the bill that we see that gets a constitutional amendment where people could go vote on giving the legislature the authority to enact a lottery. So right now, a bill would have to start in the House. It would go to the Senate, and both chambers pass. It doesn't go to the governor. It goes straight to the ballot. And we get put on a ballot for a vote. And I think in the meantime, the debate will be about how that lottery, what it'll look like. Right now, this McClendon proposal, I don't think half of the proceeds would go to the general fund and half go to the education fund. I don't think a lot of people are really thrilled about that. I think it carves out some provisions for like the green tracks and the victory lands that a lot of people aren't happy about, them having these video lottery terminals or whatever you want to call it. Just another way of saying slot machines. And there's also the pushback from the Porch Group, who earlier or late last year said they were for a lottery. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't mind a lottery, but they don't like this bill because it gives some other interests around the state a chance to have a monopoly on certain types of gaming.
Yeah, there's so much that's packed in there. So I want to start with this. Once again, so people understand, I think it's worth repeating, that the first push here is to change the Constitution. So if something passed, or one of these versions, we would be looking in 2020 at something on the ballot that would say, you know, in legalese, to change the Alabama Constitution to allow a lottery, right? I mean, wouldn't be
that has to come first before they could actually do it.
Okay, so we wouldn't be voting. We wouldn't vote on a you know, a package of what the lottery would look like, we would vote to say you could amend the Alabama Constitution to be able to have a lottery.
Right. Well, that's how you have, that's how you get it on the to make it legal, right? Because right now the legislature couldn't just say, "Hey, we want to do a lottery." They have to change the Constitution of Alabama. That has to go for a vote of the people.
Okay, so there's the first hurdle. So to guess that we could have a lottery. Then, like you said, what does it look like on the revenue side and the split? I'll say this, that it seems at least a little bit honest here when they say the 50-50. I know that there's a lot of people who don't like that, but I have argued for quite a while on this that if the lottery is necessary to solve the financial woes of the state of Alabama, shouldn't the money be applied as triage would be to the most important place or the biggest need first? And I think there's some nod of the hat with McClendon's bill that, yes, there's the 50% for schools because I think that's the price you got to pay to get people to vote for a lottery, and we'll get back to that, but 50% would then go to the general fund. I mean, it's, in the past, lotteries have always been all for schools, right? In this case, maybe some money goes to where it's needed.
Right. So the lottery's always gone to schools in the past because what was the only way we were going to get a lottery done in the state? Because the system was so morally awful that you had to do it for the school kids. That was always the selling point.
Right.
Maybe we have waited a little too long now that, you know, it won't all go to education. Now, there is some talk, and I talked to 4 or 5 members about this, of the legislature, of doing something with the lottery where they can take money and get money, generate money, a revenue from a lottery, and maybe shave a few cents off of the grocery tax. I've heard it completely eliminating the grocery tax, the 4 cents per dollar that is applied as a sales tax on groceries that goes to the state of Alabama. I've heard a penny or two, and I've heard a complete elimination of it. So that's kind of in the hopper. But I don't know, you know, that's got to be worked out among our elected representation of this great state of Alabama.
You know, and then let's talk about what else is in the bill. You know, the idea here, whether it's a clean bill or it has riders. I know that yesterday, Representative District 105 Chip Brown was on with me, and we're talking about a bill he's introducing for changing the way the rules around judges being compelled to give bond to people for certain violent crimes. But I asked him, I said, how are you going to vote on the lottery bill? And he said, well, if I can get a clean lottery bill, then I'll probably be voting yes, but I'm not sure we can do that. And then I'm reading through what you're saying and Sean Ross's story over at Yellowhammer News, and you just made a reference. There's already riders packed into this thing. It's not just about the rider referendum for lottery, right? It's a bunch of other stuff.
It's a bunch of other stuff, and essentially, and that's the Victory Land green track stuff in there that people are really just put off by this. He's calling it a clean lottery bill. It really isn't. I would expect this proposal to be the one to get put forward. What I hear is the Senate President Del Mar is going to have his own bill that's going to do something with the lottery. That's the one I would really watch and see. And just for two reasons, if it's A, a clean lottery bill, and that's the one that has the most likelihood of passing, but B, if there are any riders in it, if there is anything else in it, and I will kind of tell you what's going on politically.
Jeff, Governor Ivey obviously played a huge role in getting the infrastructure bill passed, and we've heard her take on getting something done about the overcrowding in prisons. Has she provided an opinion on the lottery at all yet?
She would tell you when she's asked that she is not opposed to it, and that she does think that the economy's doing so well and the state's doing so well that we don't really need the lottery, something like that. But I know when she's confronted about it, she'll tell you that she's not against it. If the people want a lottery, let them have a vote. But she will preface it by saying, look, I want it to be a clean lottery. I don't want any of this extra stuff added onto it that allows gambling or whatever in other places. I just want a bill that will give you be an up and down vote on whether we have a lottery like other states have with the Powerball and the Mega Millions and the scratch offs and, you know, and so forth.
Coming right back, more with Jeff Poor. He is live from Montgomery as regular session has started again. And they're back at it. We'll get into it when we return right here on Mobile Mornings.
this information update brought to you by Cart Doctor's Street Legal Card Sale. With an overflowing inventory and the best prices of the year, choose from the Icon brand, Tomberlin, and Star, all on sale through March at Cart Doctor.
Thank you, Kane. 822 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here. Phone number, text line 343-0106. I tell you what, put that phone number into use right now. Looking for caller number 6 at 343-0106. Family four-pack of tickets to the Festival of Flowers out of Providence Hospital. That opens up tomorrow. It's over a $50 value, the family four-pack of tickets. Once again, caller number 6 at 343-0106. You get tickets for you and three others. A good Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Get them right now. All right, continue our conversation with Jeff Poor, which, by the way, if you have hit up the votenappies.com when you go in the media section, when you're done voting for FM Talk 106.5, you'll arrive at Favorite Lanyap Writer. And as a self-declared campaign chairman again this year, I would remind y'all, vote early and often for Jeff Poor as Favorite Lanyap Writer. Although, Jeff, did you fire me last year?
Yeah, but since no one else will take the job of a nappy campaign manager, I'm kind of stuck with you, it appears.
So I'm back as a campaign manager. Y'all vote votenappies.com and make sure to put Jeff Poor in as Favorite Lanyap Writer. All right, talking about what's happening in Montgomery and the lotto bill, the clean versus dirty. This part really interests me because you'd think that the old days are gone. Milton McGregor, God rest his soul. You know, those days are gone, but still there's carve-outs in this lottery to do video poker. I mean, is it impossible to move something through in Goat Hill without these riders on it? Can they get support without it?
Yeah, I think they can. But McClendon was the first to come out and do it. That was probably a show to those guys. They could... that he was willing to... I guess in his mind, that's making it fair. That's showing that, if we do a lottery, it's going to kill these businesses in Macon County and in Green Track and Green County. So, that's the justification for it, if that makes sense. We know probably what the real justification is. But I do think that ultimately you'll get a clean lottery bill. There's enough money at stake for the legislature to be like, look, this is a source of revenue. Everybody else is doing it. We might as well just go ahead and join the herd.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, too, when you're the last one in. And I've heard a couple different numbers thrown out with what the projections would be for revenue to the state from a state-run lottery. But, you know, I've got to worry. It's not like, you know, if you were the first state in a cluster to have the lottery, sure, you get people come across the border, you get your people. And this is not anti-referendum. I actually think we should have a referendum on it. But this idea that it's going to be this panacea, that the money is going to come pouring like Niagara Falls into the treasury, I think that may be a little too much hope on that.
Well, and we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. I was talking to State Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter, and you know the projections are what they are. But when you first get it, I think $175 million or something a year was kind of that seems to be a very optimistic projection. But they go down after the first year because people will go out and buy lottery tickets, and then they will they will participate, play the lottery for a year or two, and then after that, it just becomes kind of old hat. And we've seen this over and over again in every state. So what I think, though, even with that in mind, still with Powerball and these Mega Million jackpots these days, the people driving across the state line, it's still probably in the state's best interest, even if you're bringing in $100 million on a lottery. There's still enough money there for the state to do it, the state to set up some kind of agency, and that they will come out. They will come out in the black when it's all said and done.
All right. Speaking of what happened in Montgomery, what are you hearing up in the north end of the state about reaction to the gas tax passage?
Man, I tell you what. Madison County Men's Republican Club had five members of the legislature come. Three that voted for the gas tax, two that voted against us. I've been to these Republican meetings all over the state. From one end to the other, never see anything like this. where this is the Albert Peters Breakfast in Madison County. It gets about 300 people once a month every Saturday. It's like one of the biggest things, even in a non-election year, that draws people. They got the members who voted for it. It was two members of the legislature and one member of the state senate just got booed. And then the two members that voted against it, kind of outliers, the very fringes of the state, got standing ovations. So I think that tells you what the reaction is, how people feel about it. It's clear that there's a lot of people upset about it. I was talking to the Speaker of the House yesterday, and he says that they are aware that with the passage of this gas tax, that people are going to have to start seeing some kind of a benefit, some mm-hmm. kind of road project, some mm-hmm. kind of progress very soon. They're aware of this. For doing the gas tax and this infrastructure package the way they had.
I mean, they're supposed to do it, but also, yes, for the optics of it, there needs to be in every part of the state where, you know, somebody is putting asphalt on the ground, widening something has to be. I agree with that. I think politically you got to do that.
Well, and I think the delegation from your part of the state, Mobile and Baldwin County, they got cover on this. I think the Port of Mobile, they can look and say, look, we don't like gas taxes either, but look at this port expansion. Mm-hmm. We did it. We're bringing your money back. You know, we're trying to change the ways of the whole BP debacle. We're bringing your money back, and we're doing the right thing for this part of the state for once.
All right. Then national politics comes here to Alabama. And Elizabeth Warren running for president and asking for people's vote here in Alabama. Does it surprise you that she's here in Alabama this far out?
First of all, Alabama's not a big player in the Democratic primary, but it is kind of a player in terms of gaining support from the African-American community. Now, usually you see candidates come here for the Selma and mm-hmm. it's bridge crossing. The last one we had, of course, we had Cory Booker here. We had Sherrod Brown, who since dropped out of his bid for president. But, no, it doesn't surprise me. I think she had to do the Selma pilgrimage. Terry Sewell was showing her around, a congresswoman from the 7th Congressional District. And she did a big event last night in Birmingham at the Boutwell Auditorium. So I think I think this is really kind of a play. She did a whole southern swing, started off Memphis, Jackson, Mississippi, yesterday Selma in Birmingham. I think this is her trying to reach out to the African-American community.
Now, I mean, she is going to, where do you see her in the spectrum for Democrat candidates?
I think she's a second-tier candidate right now. The one thing she has going for her is that New Hampshire primary, obviously that's her neck of the woods in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. She's got name ID there. She could do really well. She's also got to go head-to-head with Bernie Sanders, who also is known in that part of the country. I don't know if she has a play in Iowa. I think you're going to start seeing these candidates, who the Iowa candidates are and who the New Hampshire candidates are, very soon. I think the Beto O'Rourke's, the Amy Klobuchar's, those guys go to Iowa. Like I said, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren are the ones that go to New Hampshire and really focus. And then you'll see the ones I think that are the top-tier candidates. I think it's Kamala Harris. I think that's Joe Biden. When he finally announces, they will make plays in both states. I think really to be a legit threat for the nomination, you don't have to win both those states. You just got to finish second and third in some combo like that in both of those states. But that's where I see her being strong, Elizabeth Warren. I think she's going to go for the New Hampshire route.
There we go. Jeff Poor, WVNN, of course, the Jeff Poor Show every weekday afternoon, and read his work in Lanyap, where I hope you will vote for him as your favorite Lanyap writer, votenappies.com. Also, check him out at Breitbart and Yellowhammer News. Jeff, we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Sean.
Always a pleasure. Jeff Poor checking in live from Montgomery, 8:30. We'll head to your phone calls next.
FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, this morning, let's talk about that brand new AT4 Sierra. What's so different about this truck, and why are people lining up to buy it?
Well, I think it's just the best-looking truck on the road, according to most people. I'm a little bit biased. I love it. But, you know, Dalton, what it is the first GMC truck, or really any truck by General Motors, is coming direct from the manufacturer with the bad boy package on it. I'm talking about the lift kit and the big wheels and, you know, the red tow hook. So it's kind of an off-road looking truck that really rides great on the road. I'm actually driving one as my personal vehicle, and it's got that six-function tailgate. I just think, if you think about a Ford Raptor, this is kind of GMC's answer to that. They've upped the ante, and the truck is a little bit bigger. It's got more features. It's got all the interior stuff you're looking for, like OnStar and navigation. But that six-function tailgate's freaking people out, and all they got to really do is go to my website, Dalton, and they can check it out. Go to YouTube and put in GMC AT4 2019. And, you know, also I invite people that are looking for the real huge steal. You can get over $12,000 off an 18 model if you don't want the new one. So the AT4 is kind of the coolest thing going, and we've got, I think, five of them in stock, and most dealerships don't even have one in stock. So I want everybody to go to McConnellAutomotive.com. Check it out before you buy anything else.
All right. Thank you, Mitch.
Dalton, y'all have a great day, man.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 838. We'll head to the phones and the text line. The phone number, 343-0106. We got to say congratulations to our winner for the Festival of Flowers tickets.
Yeah, congratulations to Johnny. Got that family four-pack. Going to check out the beautiful arrangement of flowers at the Festival of Flowers, and that begins tomorrow. So, Johnny, come on down to the station. We'll have your tickets waiting for you.
All right, Dutch Gardens, the theme this year. They
Dutch.
Got windmill and a canal and all that kind of good stuff. Plus all the vendors and the people that can do amazing things and keep all kind of plants alive, and they can help you with the advice.
It's, I guess, spring has sprung when the Festival of Flowers begins.
That's right. Let's go first to the phones, and JP is in Mobile. Hey, JP.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
You're sounding pretty good. I heard that there was one guy down there that felt like he might have needed another 10 minutes rest, but I won't talk about that guy.
Well, you're talking about both of us, but yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, can we talk for a minute about the gasoline tax?
Sure.
You know, I don't know what it is right now. Is it something like 15 cents or 19 or something like that?
Yeah, it's, I think... 18.3. I'll get it in a second. I'll let you know.
Okay. Going up by 10 cents seems like a lot. I don't know when it's going to begin and how long it's going to be stretched out. Do you?
Yes. Okay. So here's how. So here's how it works. The way it comes. And let me quickly get our tax is 20.91 cents right now. Okay. So it's 20.91 cents as of today. Now, when it goes up the first year. So they do it in a kind of an incremental thing over 3 years to arrive at 10 cents. So it goes up 6 cents year one, 2 cents year two, 2 cents year three, arriving at that 10 cent each gallon gas tax increase. It is, here's the flip side, JP. There's not a sunset on it. In fact, there's a provision that I think every 2 years they will look at the there's a federal index of road building cost, and if those go up, the gas tax can go up commensurate with that index. Now, if that index falls, it can go down, but it's been a long time since I've seen costs fall. But right now, they can adjust it every 2 years. So conceivably, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but conceivably, every 2 years, it could go up by a cent.
Mm-hmm. Like 6 cents the first year.
6 cents first year, 2 cents second year, 2 cents third year, and then after that, it can grow every 2 years depending on the cost of road building.
You take a person who's got to go from here to Washington County, maybe, like I know a guy used to do, I don't know if they still do that, but that mill up there is still open, I believe, in McIntosh, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a long ways to go, and that's a lot of tax over a period of time, even if you got a car that's pretty good on the mileage, gas mileage, but I'm in agreement with most of what the governor does and says, but I don't know, it just seems a little bit too high for me, because I know when you look at the small increase in Social Security, for example, Social Security earnings, it seems like it's a little bit way up there to me. Guys, you guys have a wonderful day. May the good Lord bless you, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hey, thanks, JP. Good to hear from you. They'll go back. There's a couple different ways to slice this up. But you'll hear Todd Stacey say it, and Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News is not just plucking this out of the air. They did a study. They being the Alabama legislature had a study run by the University of Alabama and one of the economics departments about what the gas tax needs to be to fill the ongoing cost of doing the roads. And it was like 20 cents a gallon. So they'll argue now that they're asking for half of that, which I would say
20 cents in addition.
No, 20 cents total. So 10 cents being half of that. In other words, they went after half of what the study said they needed. So they'll say, hey, we're only asking for half, which I think is an argument then. If you're doing that, I want to turn around and say, then why not just go for the whole thing? If this is what we need, why not go for the 20 cents? Of course, there's politically is why they're doing it.
Right.
Because
they're giving us a deal.
We the people are going to be crazy about that. You look around the country, I'll tell you, after the gas tax increase, we will still be lower than our neighbors in Florida. Will be a touch after year three, will be a touch above Georgia if they don't raise it. Georgia right now, I'll give you like, here's the clustering of the Southeast. Florida right now is 41.36 cents per gallon. Alabama, 20.91 cents per gallon. Georgia, 31.59 cents per gallon. Mississippi, 18.79 cents a gallon. Although, let me point out that I think Mississippi has vehicle inspections, which is a cost that goes probably to their roads that we don't have, right? We don't have the vehicle inspection and the sticker and all that stuff. Louisiana, 20.01 cents a gallon. Texas, 20 cents a gallon. Arkansas, 21.80 cents a gallon. Tennessee, 26.40 cents a gallon. North Carolina, 35.35 cents per gallon. South Carolina, 20.75 cents per gallon. Number one in the nation for gas tax?
California?
That's exactly what I thought, and I was exactly wrong. So the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the Keystone State.
And they've got tolls too, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. You get on the turnpike and all that, but 58.70 cents per gallon.
Oh man.
That's Pennsylvania. Number two, you're right. That's California, 55.22 cents per gallon. I always thought Hawaii was high, and it is. It's 47.88 cents per gallon. But yeah, Pennsylvania, number one in the nation in gas tax.
I found a map of the last time that it says, when did your state last raise its gas tax rate?
92 for Alabama.
That
right?
was us. Yeah, and now, of course, 2019 would be the new number. But Mississippi, they look like it's been the longest since Mississippi has raised its gas tax, 1989.
Okay, but in fairness here, you have to look at the total suite of taxes on the individual citizens. And that's one of the things where you could turn around and say, look at Florida. They don't have income tax. They don't have state income tax. Yeah, but look at their property tax. You could say, you know, Alabama, look how low the property tax is. Well, look at our sales tax numbers. So you have to combine them all. I think Alabama, we were at 43rd most taxed state out of the 50.
Mm-hmm.
I think New York was number one. And so you look at the gas tax. The gas tax is one component of all the taxes you pay in the year. And the game that's played is shifting burden. People will argue to more to one group than the other. You know, you get a use tax like gas versus an income tax. You get a property tax versus some other excise tax. You got sin taxes in there, of course, with liquor and smoking. I'd say this, the lottery, even though nobody talks about the lottery, you want to talk about a sin tax.
Yeah.
The sin tax, a lottery is a big sin tax. It's states will say, listen, this is not good, but we get more good from it than the negative that comes from it. Once again, that's going to be the reason the lottery. Right now, the tell in McClendon's bill that it's 50-50 schools and general fund tells you that at least the needle has moved some. In the past, it was always for schools, even if it wasn't needed.
Yeah, for most of the unfortunate folks who never win the lottery, they're paying 100% sin tax on that one.
Big time. Good point. 846 FM Talk 106.5. Come right back to the phones at 343-0106. Thanks, Kane. 850 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Heading to the phones, you'll hold on at 343-0106. Average interest rate on credit card debt right here in these United States, 18% APR. you looked at your interest rate lately when you made your credit card payment? All right, so after you get over that shock when you look, let me tell you how to fix that. You can refinance your high-interest credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. Now, that rate is fixed. It's never going to go up on you as interest rates continue to rise. And you get a loan, $5,000, $100,000, anywhere in between, and there are no fees. You can also get your money as soon as the day you apply. And when you have good credit, you deserve great service and a low-interest fixed-rate loan from LightStream. It's lending uncomplicated. Hey, you want to save even more? Y'all can get an additional interest rate discount when you go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. Website, lightstream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Go see them, lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name, for more information. All right, then to the phones we go, and first up, let's go to Keith in Baldwin County. Hey, Keith.
Hey, guys, real quick. I live part-time in Lithuania.
Cool.
Y'all,
by the way, that's a cool thing to drop.
Ad here. Over there, of course, it's about a liter. And equivalent, it's like almost $6 a gallon they pay over there. Their average income over there is like $500 U.S. a month. So before people start hollering and screaming about, you know, how much we're paying here.
How's traffic?
About those folks over there.
How's traffic there? Pretty light?
Not really, because you know, they became westernized. They drive, and but generally they don't really, you know, it's a small country, but all the traffic is in town. So,
right.
But yeah, you know, I don't mind the tax. It's just that it seems like they would look at the cost of what it actually costs to produce gasoline, and but anyways, I just wanted to call that in and let everybody know that. We ain't got it nearly as bad as some of these people do overseas.
Has Uber made it to Lithuania yet?
Not really. But because people over there, they don't really go into taxis, because it's either the trolley bus or it's walking. That's why they're so fit over there. So, but yeah, it's a great country. You know, they like us a lot over there. They like Westerners.
Good deal.
Anyways, I just want to throw that in.
I appreciate it. Now, and it's, of course, you can look at a lot of different parts. I think we got to compare state to state versus other countries. And when I say compare state to state, look at the total tax implications on the individual. I mean, it still doesn't mean you have to like the gas tax. I'm not. This is not like a play to like the gas tax. But if you're going to argue these things and talk about these things, look at the total suite of taxes on individual citizens.
Has it been looked into? You mentioned the vehicle inspections earlier.
Yeah, I was saying that. Yeah, Mississippi hasn't.
Well, has it been looked into in Alabama?
Don't give them any ideas.
I know, but I mean, my wife's family comes from Massachusetts, and that's mm-hmm. a state where they do the vehicle inspections.
Taxachusetts,
and of course, her family doesn't like the taxes, and that's why they moved down south. Now mm-hmm. her parents are in Georgia, but one of the good things that comes from vehicle inspections, you don't have so many cars that are falling apart as they're driving down the road, and then cars that and big trucks that are tearing up the roads, because they're actually you know, inspected for the most part.
Yeah, Florida has inspections, I know, and Mississippi, I'm sure a bunch of others do as well. Maybe I don't know about Georgia.
But if you were going to pay towards something, would you rather pay towards a vehicle inspection where you know that that the cars on the road will be safer than paying extra taxes on your gas? If you had to choose one or the other, you know,
I would choose gas. Because of where, even though anecdotally I can be all in with you, that the buckets of bolts that are riding down the road and people got one headlight, no tail light, so I'm with you. I'm completely with you. But if you're looking for individual liberty, as long, you know, if your vehicle has got basic functioning headlights and tail lights, mm-hmm. the shape of that vehicle is on you. As long as it doesn't cause you to hurt me, it's on you. So when you do the inspections and all that, you can, at that point, you're taking away individual liberty. Somebody who may choose to drive the bucket of bolts or whatever it is, it's barely running. Although you can get it, listen, there's nuance to everything. You can say, well, they're look at these vehicles that leave in a cloud of smoke from the stoplight. They're doing more polluting than all the other vehicles around them combined, probably. Sure, I get that. Gas tax, while it's not popular, I will say it is at least, with the amount of distance you drive, it's commensurate with how much amount of time on the roads you drive. It's commensurate with that amount of tax you pay.
Okay, that's a good argument. I guess another argument against it would be you'd have to go to the DMV or wherever every single year.
And it brings up, and I've seen it in Florida where I think you could go to, somebody correct me here, but I thought back then you went to like private garages that did the certification for the state.
Okay.
I may be wrong on that, but I think that's how it was. And by the way, the other side of this coin is our dependency on federal taxes in Alabama. I've been saying this for, gosh, going on nine years now, 10 years, getting right. By the way, happy birthday, FM Talk 106.5. May 1st. May 1st will be 10 with this radio station, a decade.
You gonna throw a surprise party?
I think so.
For the station?
Yeah, I'm getting old enough I can even hide my own Easter eggs and throw my own surprise party. But I look at the federal dependency. Alabama ranks, we used to be like number one or number two in the nation. We're now down to five, but we're the fifth most federally dependent state. In other words, and we bring in more federal tax revenue into our state than we send to Washington. We are a net gainer. We are one that depends on the federal government. All right, to the phones, and David is up next.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Dalton. And I know in Mississippi, when I lived there years and years ago, that it was private garages that were doing the certifications for the state, the inspections for the state of Mississippi. So I don't know if that's changed since I moved.
Okay, yeah. Keith just... Okay, thank you, Keith, in Agricola. What's up, Agricola, Mississippi? That's a beautiful little community. Said no vehicle inspections in Mississippi. It stopped a few years ago. So there we go.
Okay, but real quickly, it's a misnomer that we're not paying more in property taxes, because at least in Mobile County, my assessed value of my property every year I've owned my house has gone up, and not just gone up a little bit, but gone up substantially.
Sure, so but the millage, you got to talk about the millage, not the amount.
I understand it. So while the rate hasn't gone up, the amount we're paying has gone way up because the state has mandated Mobile County change the way they assess their property values.
Right.
If you remember correctly.
Yeah, I do. I remember that.
So to say that we're not paying more in property taxes is a misnomer. Because
I didn't say we weren't
paying
more. I'm saying we're not paying as much as Florida, as millage goes.
Well, that is true, okay. But those rich people over in Florida, they can afford it. So.
There you go. The nice slant. John says on the text line, my wife and I have a one-bedroom condo in downtown Pensacola. It's 900 square feet, and the property tax...
How much?
$3,500 a year.
For 900 square feet.
900 square feet.
Yikes.
$3,500. Moral of the story, government's going to get their money one way or another. That is true. Okay, thank you. Texter, Georgia does have vehicle inspections. See, I'm learning stuff. So Mississippi doesn't have them anymore. Georgia does have vehicle inspections. Oh, wow, Travis. All right. Travis said Florida used to have inspection. Thankfully, it's gone. So Florida's gone. So Georgia is the only one in. So very good. All right. We'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. Remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. While you're there, download a podcast or 26.
Yeah, I think we've got over like 5,000 up there.
Or 5,000. Check it out. The podcast page over at fmtalk1065.com. See y'all.